How do you think you're doing right now? Are you on par? Today, we meet Daniel Hewitt with On Par Entertainment. He's going to tell you all about the things he's got going on there. Things like duck pen bowling, miniature golf, karaoke rooms, and let's not forget, free soda. That's right. He provides free soda. Come on in and let's have some fun.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
Welcome to Dayton Approved, exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits with Dayton Discount Furniture. Today we've got my good friend Danny Hewitt, is how I like to call him, I guess you could say. Danny instead of Daniel, I don't know. How do you like to go, Danny?
Now that I'm older and sophisticated, there's Daniel, but
yeah, Daniel. Danny's fine. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to say Daniel then. I have a brother named Daniel, so it gets me a little tripped up, but that's awesome. All right. Well, we got Daniel here today with On Par Entertainment. But he doesn't just have On Par Entertainment. He's got a lot of things going on, and he's going to tell us all about it today. So, you know, Danny's got a long story, so we're going to go ahead and let you start off, and let's go jump right into telling us how it all started. How'd you get into being an entrepreneur?
Well, that is a long story indeed, but I'll try to keep it summary. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, Frank. Absolutely.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine, for sure. Well, so I think it all starts when you're a kid, doesn't it? You kind of know what you want to do, and although none of us really know what we want to do, I know I wanted to chase financial freedom. Maybe when I was like 10 years old, that was the ultimate goal, overarching goal. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what entrepreneurship was or owning a business. That wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. But I know I wanted to achieve some kind of financial freedom as the goal. And so entrepreneurship kind of fell on my lap, but kind of didn't. When I was in my early 20s, I was actually looking for something that can take me to the next level. Because I knew I wasn't going to like the corporate 9-to-5.
Right.
And I traded that in to work 9-to-9, but you know,
of course,
so they don't tell you that, do they? When they're hyping you up. But so my first business I started in 2011, and that was actually a photo booth business, and it's a fantastic story. Our friend Jeremy, and Mike, we were sitting at my house, and I was like, Mike was like, you should start a photo booth business, and I was like, photo booth,
photo booth,
and Mike's like, well, I'll build it. And Jeremy's like, I'll do the software, I'll do the website. They weren't my business partners necessarily, but that's where it started.
Yeah, just a couple guys hanging out, kind of spitballing ideas.
Looking back, I have no idea why we were talking about photo. It doesn't make sense, you know? It's like, where did that subject come up?
Right.
But once that idea hit my mind, there was no stopping us.
Yeah.
And with Mike and Jeremy's help, I mean, realistically, it wouldn't have happened without them. And I'm extremely grateful for those two. And so, yeah, I just kind of dove into that, and we started building photo booths. Had no clue what we were doing. We're looking up pictures online on Google, and then eventually we did the photo booth. Had no clue what we were doing, and it's actually a really great story of how we made our first check. I don't know if I've told you this.
No, I don't think you've told me.
So I went into the Green. There was this lovely woman named Kelly there. She was the events coordinator for the Green Mall in Beaver Creek, Ohio. And I was like, hey, I'm young. Like, no clue what I was doing. Walking there, like, hey, like, I got this photo booth. You want to rent it? And And she's like, yeah, sure. For these four events, I'll rent it. And I'm like, okay, thanks for your time. I understand. I'm walking out. Wait, what? So the very first person I talked to, I made we booked $2,400 worth.
Yeah.
For the photo booth. And we had a bunch of different organizations for the Green. And that was... I have, looking back, that really set me up for success, because if you have a bunch of defeats, it's going to be harder to overcome that.
Of course.
But the very first person I talked to said yes, and that just propelled me, to go further.
Great encouragement.
Oh, great encouragement. As a salesperson yourself, like getting a sale.
There's a high.
There's a state of euphoria, and you get a dopamine dump, and it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I had that good feeling, and that kept going on. So I did photo booth for maybe a year and a half, 2 years, just photo booths, doing birthday parties and all kinds of miscellaneous stuff.
Right.
So then I kind of transitioned into weddings. As you know, I did a bunch of things in the wedding industry. Well, the second thing I did was DJ. I'll never forget it. I was at David's Bridal, and I set up a photo booth there. And this lady, I'm like, hey, we have a photo booth. And she's like, oh, my DJ has a photo booth, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I drove home because, you know, she said no. And I drove home, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, yeah. I guess I'm going to start a DJ business.
You know what I mean? You couldn't let this defeat
happen. I hated losing so bad. You know, yeah. I hated it. And so then I went home and I just started it. I had no clue what I was doing. I started a DJ business and we started doing bridal shows and, you know, kind of all kinds of different things. We did that. But I'll tell you my favorite story about weddings.
So it was, so when you got into the weddings, I guess I didn't realize that it was photo booth. I knew that was number one.
Yep.
And then DJing. I thought it was like lighting and all that. But
No. So when we started the DJ business, I bought these lights in this bin that ended up not working at all. I never used them for an event.
Oh, wow.
Spent a lot of money on that. But we started off with a no lighting package. And then quickly I realized, okay, everyone has these lights. So I need to have some lights. But the first wedding we did, I'll never forget it. It was with Jason Cook. It was hilarious. So we had an MC and a DJ for our events, which is unique for the wedding industry.
Yeah.
We're at this wedding. And this is when the Baltimore Ravens went to the Super Bowl and the lights turned off. You remember that? The power shut off in the stadium?
Oh, yeah.
The groom had passed out before we started. And he was a Ravens fan. And we all joked around about that. Blackout, you know, night lights out. But anyways, the bride comes up to us and we're explaining how things work. And she's like, I'm sorry, I'm so nervous. I've never done this before. And Jason Cook leans in and he said, neither have we. We all start laughing. But he wasn't lying. We were completely winging it. So
yeah, it was like pure honesty.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, even this is important, too, for entrepreneurs out there. When I was doing photo booth, I actually had a notebook, and I was writing down what at each wedding what I liked and what I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And that could be from photographers or DJs or whoever. And I had no intention on doing anything more than a photo booth.
Yeah.
But I had this journal. And so by the time we had DJ, I was like, hey, I hate when they tell stories. I hate when they crack jokes. XYZ. I like this. And so we had it pretty much figured out before we even started.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's so an important lesson.
Yeah. So you had a format. You're creating a format the whole time.
Yeah. Basically. I was. Yeah. The weddings were a ton of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stressful.
Yeah. Of course. No, it's funny because, you know, I was visiting our friend John last night, speaking of which it kind of relates to it. And he's like real into golf now.
Mm.
And I mean, we're talking like crazy, obsessive, like hardcore into it. Like, good for you. Like, I'm proud. But he's just showing me all these things he's doing. He's like, I'm tracking this. I'm doing that. I'm tracking all that. I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to, you know, change my posture here. Try, you know, tracking it all. And I'm like, dude, it's golf. And he's like, no, I'm trying to be better. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, that's what you do as a business guy.
Mm-hmm.
You keep tracking stuff and you try to keep improving and you try to keep doing better and better and better. But it's just interesting because I saw that and I was like, wow, like I almost saw myself when I was working.
Oh, in yeah. business. I think you should do that.
Yeah, you should. But there's a lot of people that don't realize or do that. They don't, you know, keep the journal like you were saying.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, track every little thing. It's important.
Well, I think it even like, because, you know, you have a lot of entrepreneurs on, but let's take John, for example, and I love John and Jess. They're wonderful people. Well, it could be golf. It could be relationships. It could be gym. It could be just go all in no matter what you do. Because sometimes it's like business, business, business. You don't have to focus on business. Golf could be your focus.
Yeah.
And be the best you possibly can.
Yeah.
Just know that you're giving it your all. Or like I'll use my sister, my older sister's. I love her so much. She chose to be a stay-at-home mom years ago. And her goal was to be the best mother ever. And she put all of her time and effort into it. And in my opinion, she is the best mother ever.
Yeah.
And so she did that. It has nothing to do with business. Has nothing to do with money. Has nothing to do with X, Y, or Z. It has to just like, hey, this is the goal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be the best I possibly can be in it.
Yeah. Give it an actual 110% effort. That's it. Whatever 110 is. But you know, you get
it. Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, I interrupted. We got back to your story.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. It's hard to keep it brief.
No, it's all good. I was just thinking myself. I was like, you know, this is a great little time to talk about, really emphasize the notebook is important.
No, the notebook's important.
Keeping stats is important.
But, you know, for the weddings, we basically, I always wanted to grow and I always wanted to do something different. And it's important to be open for ideas because I bought a party bus, as you know.
Yeah.
I loved it. It fit in a parking spot as a 12-person or 14-person party bus. I loved that thing. We had so many good memories in it. It was a ton of fun. And anyways, I was at Kings Island with our mutual friend Jeremy, and he just said, you should buy a party bus and put a photo booth on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. And so I think it was less than a month later, I had a party bus.
With a photo booth on it. You know? Document this party bus.
Yeah. And so, you know, our friend Tyler Farmer, he had helped do for free. He had helped set up the speakers, and Jeremy helped set up the photo booth for free. And so we had a party bus with a photo booth on it, as you know.
Yeah.
And it was a ton of fun.
It was great.
Yeah. But I would just keep on. It's like, what can I do next? At one point, we were doing 12 different things for the wedding industry. And I had a photographer, videographer on staff. We had some lighting. We did drapery. We did kind of everything. And I just never wanted to stop getting better and better.
Yeah. Yeah. You just kept going and going.
Yeah. But then I realized, you know, weddings are stressful.
Yes.
They can't. Well, I think the planning of it and, you know, mother-in-laws can be stressed out. It's not bridezillas usually, it's mother-in-laws. I love the mother-in-laws out there, so I'm not hating on you. But I think they wanted everything to be perfect for their daughter.
Of course.
And they should want that. But it got too stressful. I found I wasn't enjoying it anymore. I did it for a decade.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was 10 years.
Yeah, we did over 1,000 events.
Wow.
That's wild.
That's a huge
I mean, I know there's other companies that do, you know, maybe 1,000 in a year, and that's great. But it was exciting to do that, 1,000. But I was slowly not enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I remember I was in...
You were hitting a wall.
I was hitting a wall, yeah. And the moment of, I don't want to say defeat, it was probably one of the most heartbreaking stories for the wedding industry is I had two of my top guys, and I won't say their names, and I was in India on a vacation with my friend Sandra, and they had invited me to their DJ business that they had started, right? Accidentally.
Yeah.
And I called him. I was like, hey, are you doing your own thing? Like, because I was openly talking about how I wanted to get out.
Yeah.
Like, I just was kind of over it, and it was burning me out. And they had left to do their own thing. And that was just really heartbreaking for me because I love those guys. You know, they were kind of like my brothers. And I would have given them the business.
Yeah.
If they would have said, hey, like, I would have given it to them. Because when I left my weddings, when I stopped doing them, I actually didn't sell it for anything.
Yeah, you just dissolved it.
I just walked away.
Yeah.
And I would have just given it to him. So towards the end, I was already on my way out mentally.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know that, you know?
Right, right.
Whether it's relationships or your job.
Exactly,
I'm like, I'm
mentally,
done.
Mentally, I'm done, yeah.
I'm done. So that was the final nail. And I was just like, man, and they were some of my best guys, my most reliable guys, and they were doing it every weekend for me. And I have to take responsibility to not know that they clearly weren't happy, or I should have, you know, talked to them more and said, hey, like, why don't you take this over? I should have had enough foresight to think that. But anyways, long story short, I knew I wanted out of weddings. And so I went, I'm always mindful and keep my eyes open. Like, what's out there, right?
Right.
What's the next opportunity? And in 2016, I did an escape room with Mike. And we're at pizza afterwards. I was actually with Burger and Bobby.
Yeah.
At Double Days Pizza in Centerville. And Mike's like, well, I can build a better escape room than this.
Yeah.
And all four of us are like, we should do it together.
Yeah.
So if they listen to this, Bobby and Matt, I'm sorry. It's kind of a dick move on my end. But so anyways, Mike and I went back to my house that night. And I had these dry erase walls in one of my bedrooms. It probably sounds a little psycho. But where I'd write my ideas down, I was young, I was in my 20s. And so we erased all that, and Mike and I actually drew out all the puzzles to the bank vault escape room, and we didn't sleep that night.
I don't think I told you this. Yeah.
So we actually stayed up the entire night.
And built that whole room
and we
out.
Built the whole room that night.
Wow.
And 2 months, this was in February, and 2 months later in April 30th, 2016, we opened Great Escape. It just happened like that.
That was quick.
It was quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I was working for the woman at the time, or the man, however you want to say it, but I've always had women bosses at on base.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was working on base. I was a college professor teaching business and marketing.
That was...
I still had weddings.
Yeah, but that was like your... I remember this was your move to be done.
Yeah.
To get off the base.
Well, I don't know if I ever told you a story either, so I'm glad we're here. I had no intentions on quitting the base.
Oh, really?
No, none. So... I basically, there was a promotion opportunity where you had to go in front of all these leaders. You had to answer questions, and they called it a board, and you had to pass. And if you pass, you get a promotion, and you can do more, essentially, in your role.
Yeah.
And I studied. I studied with our friend Jessica, who used to live in your neighborhood. You remember Jessica? Wonderful. She's an author now. Super successful.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic. Super smart. So I studied with Jessica, and I was ready, right? I waited in the hallway for an hour and a half, and I'm not, this is my, it's all my fault, right? At the end of the day, it's like, whatever happened, I have to take responsibility for. And I don't get nervous.
Yeah.
Because I DJ'd weddings. I mean, it's like, it's fun. And I had a softball-sized sweat ring on my, and by the time they asked that first question, I was like, where am I? Who? So I failed. I failed this, it's embarrassing. Nobody failed, Frank. Nobody. So I failed. I immediately asked to go to part-time. And then a couple months later, I'm at work. They pull me into the boss's office, and someone says, hey, I heard you're thinking about quitting. And without thinking about it, I said, yeah, I quit.
Well,
it wasn't planned, yeah.
You just did it.
But I was working, it's like 120-hour weeks.
Yeah.
So I'd be at work at base at 6 o'clock, and we'd go to bed at midnight or 1 working on ideas, so... So that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking too much, too. So interrupt me.
No. That's what it's all about. This is what it's all about.
It's fun.
Wow. So, no, I never knew that. That's interesting. Very interesting.
And, I think the important...
But it was a leap you needed, though.
Yeah. I don't know if I would have ever... I mean, eventually, I might have quit.
Yeah.
But it wasn't... I wasn't planning it out. I didn't have a spreadsheet, for example. I said, okay, I need this amount of money to do this. I just realized... I was at the point, I was like...
That is where I say everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
And that's where I say there's something bigger than us that we don't quite understand sometimes.
Yeah.
Call it as you want it.
That's probably true.
But there's, it's something, it was something interesting.
Well, I think the important lesson for me for that was that you could have easily taken it as I failed, I'm a loser and all, and be mopey about it. But I didn't, because without that opportunity, maybe none of this is possible.
Yeah.
Maybe all the other businesses that happened afterwards wouldn't have happened.
Of course, yeah. Or even you being here today.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what's insane about it all.
So yeah. I think which one of my favorite sayings is things happen for you in life, not to you.
Right.
And so no matter what happens, no matter how grim or bleak or negative that situation is, if you can say, what's the positive here? What's the opportunity here? What's the lesson? What's the blessing in it?
Yeah.
So, I failed. And by failing, I ended up, maybe not failing.
Yeah. You actually turned that into a huge success.
Yes. With the Great Escape game in Beaver Creek, Ohio.
That's right. Great Escape. So 2016, you're starting Great Escape. You're all in at this point.
Yeah.
Because you're like, we're done with the base job. That's your security. That's your insurance. That's your livelihood.
Yes. Well...
Or was, up until this point.
Yeah. Well, it still is, in a way. So, we opened up with two rooms.
Well, I was talking about the base job.
Oh, yeah, the base, yeah. So, I started a Great Escape on April 30th, and I quit the base in July sometime. Yeah.
Okay.
So, it was like 3 months of working 7 days a week. Too much. And so, I must have hit that breaking point on base. But the Great Escape was fun. It started off with just me and Mike. I was always terrified of retail. There's bills. There's landlords, there's all these unexpected costs. I didn't know what I was doing. And so I remember being terrified of that.
Yeah.
And now,
of course... It's a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, once you do it, it's not as bad as you think.
No.
It's pretty easy.
Just like anything.
It's pretty easy, yeah.
Once you do it once, it's over and over again.
Right.
I remember the first time I unloaded a truck, I go, oh my God, a semi's coming. I gotta unload it. This is such a big deal. And then now I'm like, yeah, it's a truck.
It's a truck.
That's just... Get it done and get it done with.
That is true. Your first truck had to be exciting.
Oh, it was. It was so exciting.
Exciting. Well,
it wasn't even my truck. It was in Savannah.
Oh, that's right.
That was really exciting. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've had three locations in Fairborn, right?
Yeah. So I had, I'm down to Fairborn now, but I had, technically, I was up to four locations at one point because I had Springfield.
Well, before the old car dealership, didn't you have somewhere else, a warehouse somewhere else?
Oh, in Fairborn?
Or was that the same place?
No, that's, so, yeah, you're right, three locations. Three locations, so the first one was like a garage. It was
like a garage, yeah.
Yeah, the second one was like right next to it, and then this is the third location in Fairborn.
Yeah.
I've got three different addresses.
That's wild. I love this place.
Oh, I know. This place
is beautiful.
It's everything I wanted. Yeah.
And you got a pretty good deal on it.
Yes, of course.
Yes, but like that.
The deal that I got is so I can pass the savings down to everyone else.
That's right. Well, I've got a lot of stuff. I mean, I've purchased a lot of stuff from you.
Yeah.
I still have the couch and the left seat. That was a long time ago.
It was. That was probably when I was in the garage.
Rug and the lamps. I mean, I got a lot from you.
Yeah. I remember you got a whole like room deal.
Yeah, we did. That was fun.
But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, well, we met, and I mean, I'm getting off subject here a little bit, but. Yeah, we met in college.
Yes.
Stats class.
We met in stats class at the old Sinclair Community College.
I absolutely, and I know I have, I went to Wright State afterwards and then online school for my master's. I love Sinclair. If I had to give credit to if I couldn't pick all three, I would give all the credit to Sinclair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
I loved everything about it.
It's affordable. The teachers seem to care, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was small classes.
Yeah,
like 25 people.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, great class size. But every teacher I had there was actually really cool, down there.
Yep.
They were like either at Wright State or most of them were like UD. So they were just going back and forth to both places.
Yep.
So it's like same books, same curriculum.
Yeah.
And you got it for a fraction of the cost.
I know. In the future, if I'm still in Dayton, in the future, I want to give back in whatever capacity I can.
Yeah, Sinclair, you should do a couple of classes. Whether that's teaching
or all that. But
yeah, like do one class or something.
But not yet, because I'm too busy.
Yes, of course. Yes,
life is still insane.
Yes. When you're insane. This is like that's more like when you're in your 60s and you're like, I want something to do.
Yeah, when
but
you're bored.
I don't care about the money.
I'm not bored right now. I'm too busy.
Yeah. All right. So, Great Escape. You're still on that. You're having that. That's where we left off.
Well, we started off with two rooms, and then we didn't even announce that we were doing Great Escape.
Didn't even announce it.
There was no advertising beforehand.
Yeah.
We just opened up and
boom.
Saw what happened.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty decent opening, I mean, for all things considered. And it was a Saturday, and we went out and we celebrated, and it was a ton of fun. I've learned so much from them. I have to look back and some of the people. Well, I have to shout out, if we're going to shout out Great Escape, the twins, Kara and Aaliyah. They're wonderful. And Kara just celebrated her 7-year anniversary working
seven
for me.
7 years.
And her twin sisters this month is 6 years. So thank you, Kara and Aaliyah. I don't know how you guys have put up with me for so long. And we've gone through so many changes. I think that's, if I had to, I mean, there's so many compliments I could say about those two. The resilience just of putting up with the changes of not only of a startup, but someone who had absolutely no clue what they were doing. And for them to put up with me and the changes that you went through. Yeah.
As a leader, you know?
And they were young. I think they were 17 when they started. So that had to be difficult to just to go through that. And
yeah, of course.
It's been a fun ride.
Yeah.
And our 9-year anniversary would be this April 30th.
9 years.
So that's wild. But
it is.
No, the escape room was a ton of fun. We learned a lot from it. I think my favorite part is I wrote a book on the escape room.
And I got the book.
Yeah, it's called Will They Escape?
Yes.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, fine bookstores everywhere. and that was fun. Yeah. I think my favorite chapter is, I think it was chapter 17 or 18. I think it's 18, where there was a ghost. Did I ever tell you the ghost story?
No.
So it's December 26th. There's four of us, me, Cammie, Mike, and Christian. And
this is a real story.
It's a real story. It's in the book. I've got the video. My only regret about the book is I should have said, hey, email me and I'll send you the video of the ghost because I have the video.
Oh, I got to see this later now.
So anyways, Christian.
Maybe we can put it in.
I think we can.
Yeah. Yes, we will. It's
so,
a ghost.
So Christian runs out of the Game Master room and he comes back. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And he says, man, someone was knocking on the door. I'm like, what the hell? But we were running games. We didn't have time to investigate it. So anyways, after the game, we watched the hallways. And so it's an escape room. We have cameras in every room, every corner, every hallway, everywhere. And we played it from the beginning to end. There's no one in the hallway. Okay, well, that's fine. We still don't know what we're looking for. So we play inside the room. This is where I have the video of, by the way. So we have, and there's this young gentleman in there. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there looking at the cabinet, and he turns his head sharply to the door. And then he points. And then he goes, "Hey, there's someone at the door." And then you hear...
No.
It's all in the video.
You hear the knock.
But we have cameras in the
hallway. On the other side of the door, there's nobody there.
You can see the whole hallway. Yeah. It's not like it's a weird angle. It's an open 6-foot hallway.
Yeah, so you can see there's nobody at that door.
Nobody at the door. And so this is the next day. All it's with Cammy as well. And we're at Great Escape. And we had to call him. It was dry because I was dating Lydia at the time. And so Lydia and I went up there and we were watching the camera because it was spooky.
Yeah.
And so we went up the next day and we called the group. I'll never forget it. Cammy called the group, and we're like, "Hey, like, did anything weird happen?" And they're like, "Yeah, someone was scratching on the door, and then it knocked." And then they said they had paranormal activity all night. And we didn't say anything. Keep in mind, we didn't say what happened.
You didn't tell them anything. Yeah,
and I'm not a superstitious person. If you guys know me, I'm very, very logical.
Yeah.
Facts, 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 facts. And they said someone threw up from their group that night, and it's one of the few things I can't explain, and that drives me crazy because I like to know all the things. So, the ghost.
Got to show you spiritual stuff.
I have the video. So, if you guys are watching this,
yes, we'll put it in.
Get a hold of me, and
we'll put it in on here. You'll send it. We'll send that and some other pictures and all that other stuff. Yeah. So you'll have to send me all this stuff. That'll be great. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I didn't. I should have spoke more to Mike. I mean, I have a business partner, Mike, for Great Escape.
Yeah.
And it was his idea in 2019. He's like, "Let's start an axe throwing business." I'm like, "What are you talking about?"
Well, before the axe throwing business, so you had two rooms in Great Escape.
Yeah.
How many rooms you got now?
We have six, and we did that within 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, because we booked them all solid. I mean, escape rooms were new and exciting. And it was like, what is this?
Yeah.
We had no idea. And Mike, so to be clear, Mike is yin and I'm yang.
Yeah.
If you guys don't understand what the yin-yang symbol is, you need one. There's a bit of you in that person. There's a bit of that person in you, but you guys need each other, and it's always flowing. And you're the opposites in some ways, but you still have to be together.
Yes,
for it to work.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So So Mike is a creative genius, right? He's the most creative person I've ever met in my entire life. If I always tell all the managers now, if Mike comes in and he starts giving ideas, shut up. Just shut up. Don't talk. Don't interrupt him. Don't challenge him or question him. Just listen.
Yeah.
And it's not every idea is wonderful, but I mean, almost all the ideas he have, he just knows what the people want, and he knows what's cool and what's in, and he's got that gift. So Mike had built all the rooms, and begrudgingly, I kept saying, "Let's build another one. Let's build another one," because I was the business side of things, And so we built the Area D. We built the tomb room. It wasn't even ready. And this girl, I can't remember her name, Kayla, maybe, what I'm talking about, maybe. And she's in town. She's like, "I've done 100 escape rooms. I want to play the tomb." I'm like, "Well, it's not ready yet." And she's like, "Oh, how close?" I'm like, "Oh, we could get you in there tonight." So we were actually laminating the final game piece to the tomb. It wasn't ready at all. And then we put her in. And then we opened the prison and the saloon. But six rooms. We haven't changed them in 8 years. But I think we've been consistently busy enough to not need to change them.
Right.
Which has been nice. I mean, that's been a fun journey.
Oh, yeah.
But 2019, Mike's like, "Let's start an axe throwing business." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Like axe throwing and alcohol, like as you heard in the comments, And I was like, "You know what? Let's give it a shot." And it was wildly successful. And that was fun.
Yeah.
It still is fun. I mean, we're coming up on our 6-year anniversary for that this June 20th. So that's kind of...
Yeah, so did you get a bunch of blowback with that, with like the whole alcohol and axe? Like, I know some people were like, "What?"
Yeah.
Because it was kind of unheard of, especially in Dayton, right?
Yeah, well, so something they don't tell you in entrepreneurship world is, or when you're trying to achieve anything great, is that most of people won't... It's not like people are going to say, "You can do it. Like, we have your back." Like, most people are going to say, "It's a dumb idea. You shouldn't do this. It's going to fail.
Impossible.
Impossible. Dumbest idea ever. Won't last a year." Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of that.
It's a fad.
I got more I got more of that with Wild Axe than all my other businesses combined.
Really?
Probably. Yeah. And still get it. I mean, I still get comments to this day, alcohol and axes, what a stupid idea. Maybe they're right.
But, hey, you know, hey, stupid for, yeah, you know.
And, and I hate, this is going to make me sound petty, and I'm being recorded, but I don't care. I wrote all the comments down for the first couple months. It's in my Dropbox.
Yeah. Really?
And I wrote them all down. It's like, you know, if you ever listen to David Goggins, I was serving that up as motivation.
Really?
Yeah.
So you used it as motivation?
I did, yeah. It was fun. Okay. And I had, back in the day, I'm not in charge of social media anymore for a reason. I had fun with them, you know? I'd play back with them a little bit.
Yeah.
In a professional way.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I mean, I do the same thing.
Yeah,
we do the same thing here. It's fun. I'll never forget, I started doing this thing for a Dayton discount where it was, I'll pay for your tattoo and give you $100.
Yeah.
And it was a tattoo of the Dayton Discount Furniture logo.
Yes.
We got like 5 employees to do it.
Really?
Yeah. One employee got 2.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Funny enough, none of them work anymore, by the way, for moral of the story.
Yeah.
But they were all about it. And it was like, hey, you want to put it on you? Awesome. And they would do it. And we would post it on our Facebook, and we would get hate.
Really?
I can't believe you're putting your logo on people's bodies. This is terrible. And you know, we were just like, we don't believe so. You know, we were just kind of like,
yep,
you know, throwing it back at it. But I couldn't believe it because you know how people are with tattoos.
Yep.
They're like, don't, you know, there's a lot of anti-tattooers out there. They always give you the advice, don't get a tattoo when you're young. You might regret it. Don't get a tattoo of someone's name. You know, they yep, always have that type of stuff. So to have a tattoo of a business logo that you work for. And by the way, I own the business. I don't have a Dayton Discount Furniture tattoo. Right. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's a little out there.
That's hilarious.
But man, we were getting hate and trolls all over the place. But it was cool because it was, you know, it's the old no attention or negative attention is better than no attention, right? So
yeah, well, you know, that kind of makes me think of something for if anyone out here is trying to start a business too. It's like, well, Joe Rogan says this, whether you like him or not, but you can't read the comments.
Yeah, you can't.
You gotta stay out of the comments.
You gotta stay out of the comment section.
It's filth is the best way to put it. It's negative people, and
of course.
And I think they're angry at their own life is my opinion, and well, so they just take it out on you.
I don't know. It's interesting because I don't know where it's at. Like, where does this anger, where does this hate come from? I mean, this is totally off topic.
No, that's all right.
But it makes me.
I have my opinion.
But it makes me wonder. I think it's a healthy thing we should talk about because.
Well, it transitions into my mission statement.
Okay.
And I know you're big on doing that first.
Yes.
So,
I've
been rambling.
No, it's okay. No, but it just amazes me where, like, it's a self-reflection. All it is what they're doing is they're self-reflecting. And, you know, the page or the comment section is just a mirror. It's unreal.
Yeah. Well, you know, my opinion, we all talk about mental health. I've traveled to a lot of places. And in my experience, the mental health is loneliness and isolation in the American society. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say tonight we're in Florence, Italy, right?
Yeah.
In the plaza there. There's hundreds of people. They're kicking the football. They're hanging out. They're drinking. They're singing. They're dancing. They're connecting, right? Mm-hmm.
They're actually connecting.
And we don't have that anymore. What do we have? We go home, sometimes to ourselves. We don't interact with people. We don't actually interact with people ever. Mm-hmm. And so we've lost that community. I mean, there's numerous cultures that you still live with all your family.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even imagine that, right?
Right, right. We're trying to get rid of our parents.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
But I think that connection is important and that sense of family. Think about this. Let's say if you have a stressful day and you go home and there's no one to kind of decompress, make you laugh, bring joy into your life, make you reflect,
The
human connection, exactly. But if you have people in your home or there's a community of people, in my opinion, that has helped. And
it's
America
very healthy,
we keep going isolation. And so
we're killing the family.
We are, yeah.
We are. We really are.
We are, and I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, I think that so that's my opinion. And that so my mission statement for Great Escape, Wild Axe. I also own a Level Up Pinball Bar, which is connected to Wild Axe.
Yes.
And On Par It's the same, mainly to help me remember it. No, I was joking. It's the same. But the mission statement is helping people escape reality through fun. And I'll tell you the story of why. I'll try to get choked up. I do get choked up sometimes.
Yeah.
So I was running the escape rooms, and I was actually writing the book, actively writing the book of Will They Escape? What I learned watching over 1,000 escape rooms. And there was a guy that came in with his two daughters to play the Egyptian tomb room. And he was miserable. And he didn't want to be there.
Yeah,
he audibly said, well, you said it. Yeah, I don't want to be here. And you could feel it, too. Yeah. He's just kind of being a jerk.
Yeah.
And so halfway through the experience, he's still just, mumbling, grumbling, and just, being a grump. And then something happens. His two young daughters, and they might have been like 10 or something. His two young daughters, they needed his help on a puzzle. Mm-hmm. And Dad comes in, saves the day, fixes it. Well, all of a sudden, bam, something switched.
Yeah.
By the end of that, they had passed, they had escaped. By the end of that, they had won, less than a minute left, whatever it was, a close ending. Mm-hmm. And he was so engaged in it. And they came out smiling, whatever. A short time after that, I was wearing my escaped t-shirt, and I was at Chipotle with my business partner, Mike, and that guy was in line. Yeah. And I remembered him because he's in my book.
Of course. Yeah.
I didn't tell him that.
He's in my book.
Yeah. So anyways, he's like, do you work there? And I was like, dude, I was your game master like a month ago.
Yeah.
Like, thanks. I must have been very memorable. I was like, yeah, I work there. And he starts shaking my hand, and he's like, I got to admit, I didn't want to do it. And I'm like, yeah, I wrote that down. And he's like, but that was the first time I didn't think about my divorce in over a year. And he starts crying.
Wow.
And that meant something. And he's shaking my hand. He won't let go.
Yeah.
So the whole time, and it was a long, maybe it wasn't as long as I remember it being, but it seemed long.
Yeah.
And he didn't let go of my hand. I had to pull
back.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so that's when the mission statement came out.
Yeah.
And I realized based on what my opinion is, and it's not right or wrong on why we have the loneliness or the mental health crisis or the anger on social media. But I realized that it's about escaping reality through fun, and that's what I can provide.
Right.
So at Axe Throwing, for example, if you hit the little blue dot, we ring a bell and everyone cheers and it's high energy. We have these train horns everywhere. It's just high energy, right?
Yeah.
We used to tell people to get off their phones at Axe Throwing. And actually, if you go to Axe Throwing tonight and you watch, I promise you, almost no one is on their phones.
Yeah.
They're engaged. They're fun. Right. It's competition. And we do a bunch of different things. Same for On Par. So On Par, although I have played some sports recently.
Yes.
Tonight, there's no sports on.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot of blowback from that, Frank.
I was wondering
so
about that.
So much blowback.
So what do you mean, not doing sports or the fact that you did go to sports?
We don't go. We don't play sports.
Yeah.
We've
yeah.
played, I don't know, a handful of games.
Are you going to do the Ohio State game Monday?
No.
Really? The national championship?
Well, I don't care.
What happened the last time you did the...
We've had some grumps. I mean, the thing about...
Well, you did do sports. I was just wondering. I'm curious. Did it do anything or no?
No. The last time we played an OSU game,
yeah.
I think every single person in an OSU jersey complained about something.
Really?
And my director of operations, who's very pro-sport, that was the moment for him where he said, I understand what you're talking about. You're right.
What did they complain about?
Well, I think if you think about this, if you're in the sports world, you're probably listening to this right now. You're like, man, what the heck's wrong with this guy? Yeah. So think about sports, right? You have your team.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's sports betting.
Yeah.
Now there's fantasy.
Yeah.
Now there's all these different things. Even if your team wins, you can lose.
Yeah.
Even if, and there's been times where OSU, for example, has won this year, it's not good enough. We were ready to lynch the coast, the coach. I can't remember his name. Day?
Ryan Day. Yeah.
We were ready to lynch him, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, championship, all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I think sports now is just set up to where you almost can't win. There's no scenario where you're happy. So anyways, that's not the reason I didn't play it. The reason I didn't play it is because if you go to On Par tonight, for example, and you look around, and I was working late last night, everyone's engaged. They're happy. They're sitting on our conversation walls on the couches. They're talking to each other. They're playing foosball together. They're bowling. Whatever they're doing, I promise you, not a lot of people are on their phone.
Yeah.
No one's distracted by sports. I can give you so many different examples, but I'll give you the most recent one. I had this guy from New York, and he's like, why aren't you playing sports? You got pissed.
Yeah.
This is an outrage. I'm from New York. Blah, blah, blah. All right. And then I explained what I'm explaining now. An hour later, he comes up to me and he's like, shaking my hand. Same thing.
Yeah.
I have to admit you were right. And I'm like, go on. I'm leaning in. Go on.
Yeah. Keep them coming.
And because he was with his young son. And he's like, this is the first time in a long time that I actually spent time with my son.
Yeah. And I wasn't distracted.
And I realized that I would go out and to watch sport or watch sports essentially and neglect his quality time with his son.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And that, yeah. and that's what we're trying to do here. Like, he's going to remember that the rest of his life.
Yeah.
That moment. So that's kind of why our mission statement is, and that means everything to me. And we also have a motto too, bigger, badder, better. We're always trying to, you know, just take it to the next level.
Yeah.
I'm never going to stop improving and making cool things.
Yeah. Always do more.
Yeah. It's fun. So on par is fun.
Yeah, of course.
I haven't talked about on par.
Yes. And that was what brought you here.
Yes. A perfect segue. How are we doing on time? Is it good?
Oh, yeah. We're at 40 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You're doing great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So on par entertainment. Oh, I had this idea in 2019, actually. I played this unique mini golf course in somewhere far away, New Zealand. And I was like, well, I'm going to bring this back to Dayton. COVID happened, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Got delayed with loans. But eventually I opened on par. So it's 33,000 square feet. It has duck pin bowling. It has steel-tipped darts that are automatic scoring. It has three nine-hole course mini golfs, five karaoke rooms, acoustical drywall, like soundproof. We got a 16-person foosball table, 102 self-pour taps, which is dangerous.
Yeah.
So more more self-pour taps than anyone in the world. This story is going to make me sound obnoxious, but I'm going to tell it anyways. When I was calling around, and there's two companies that do the self-pour. I pour it and pour my beer. And I called them both and said, well, who has the most? And they're like, well, there's a casino that has 101. I said, add 102 to that invoice. So I wanted to, you know, just to be bigger, badder, better in everything we do. Well, we got cocktails on tap. We get free pop away. So that cost me last year, now that the year's over, cost me $75,000.
What? $75,000 in pop?
$75,000 in free pop that I've given away.
Unbelievable. That's got to be tons of pop. Because
no.
How much does it cost per thing? Everyone always says it's only 4 or 5 cents. I'm like, no way. It's got to be more.
Well, no, it is cheap. I mean, we don't do Coke. And we get bad. I've gotten bad reviews because our free pop isn't Coke. So that's kind of annoying.
I thought it is Coke.
Well, no, it's cola. Oh. It's lemon lime soda.
It's not actual.
It's not actually Coke.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought it was Coke products.
Yeah, no. No, I mean, it's cola. It's diet cola.
Yeah.
It's lemon lime, which is the Sprite. It's the root beer, which is not Barks or AW name brand.
Oh, my goodness. The cola isn't Coca-Cola?
No.
I had no idea.
No. People complain about it.
Well, tell me what it is.
Well, no, I mean, I think we get it from Springfield.
Oh, so it's local.
Called, it's called Kraft 62. It's okay. Local, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good, though. Local's even better.
Yeah. No,
You should promote that you're doing local sodas.
Yeah,
people like that. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's a local soda.
No, I'm serious. That's a great little, marketing.
No, I never thought about that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a big thing. Well, people don't like that we don't have the Coke, but we pass out free. I don't know any other entertainment industry that does, or business that does free soda.
Yeah.
And I do that for several reasons. One,
what did you do at the casino?
Oh, yeah, the casino.
exactly.
But I wanted to offer that to our designated drivers because we love our designated drivers.
Of course.
You know, I wasn't a big drinker growing up. Also, for kids. So think about this. We have promotions like every day of the week. On Sunday, you can get a lane of duck pin bowling for $15.
Yeah.
And that's six people, no bowling shoes required. So let's say you're a family of six and you get free pop. So a family of six can bowl for an hour and free pop for $15.
Yeah.
So we're the best price in all of Midwest.
Yeah.
I've heard people keep saying we're expensive. I'm like, I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, just think about this too. If you're going to get a meal there, you're going to get free soda. Which is a automatic, in today's world, $3.50, $4 now at a restaurant.
Yeah, so like Tuesday, we have 10 jumbo wings and a half pound of fries for $9.99. And I think there's another company that does that, but they don't get free soda.
Right.
So we're the most affordable wing spot for the jumbo wings.
Yeah, and so those wings are big. I've had them.
Yeah.
They're great.
I think the perception is we're expensive, one, because my old business partner, Emmanuel Gahn, a wonderful human being, I mean, the most reliable person I think I know. And he's not my business partner anymore, but he built it all. And he did a really great job.
Emmanuel did all the stuff here at my place.
Yeah. So he's a very classy guy. He built it to be so beautiful that when you walk in, you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah.
And so the perception is it's expensive. But also, we have everything. So you could eat.
It kind of reminds me of like a Fox and Hound, like an upscale Fox and Hound.
Yeah.
Remember how we used to walk in Fox and Hound?
For sure.
Yeah.
But the thing is about why we're the perception we're so expensive is, let's say you go in to eat and then you play a round of mini golf while you're there with a bunch of friends. Then you get a private karaoke room. Then you bowl. Well, your tab is going to be high, but the individual things aren't that expensive,
right?
Necessarily, it's all just if you're there for 3 hours and 4 hours, and there's so much to do, then you can easily rack up your bill. But no, that's been fun.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, I mean, the thing is I mean, I understand there's like that perception of where it's like not necessarily cheap or whatever, but you don't want that. You know what I mean? It is a high-end scale place.
Yes.
You know, you're not going, I mean, I'm not trying to, we'll just call it, you're not going to see riffraff there. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's different type of clientele. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, where do you want to go to dinner at? Do you want to go to dinner at, you know, McDonald's, or do you want to go to, you know, J. Alexander? Yep. There's a difference.
We're cheaper than McDonald's, by the way.
Yeah, so there you go.
That's fine.
But I'm just saying, though, like, if you really think about it, like, what do you want? You know, what do you want? What experience do you want?
Yeah.
And no. I think people don't necessarily understand or get that.
Yeah. So, as a great man once told me, Carlos Chavando, he said, you get the customer you deserve.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we want. But the management team there is absolutely fantastic, too. Sarah Luis, Rocky, Jose, Nikki, our trainer Lex, Heidi, the marketing manager, she's fantastic. Carlos, so we have a really solid team. I'm very proud of them all. The perception, one of the big things, if I can get across anything for on par, especially if you haven't been there before, is it's self-pour taps, right? Mm-hmm. You can pour as much as little as you like. You pay by the ounce. Well, our cocktails are actually very strong.
Yeah.
And this is dangerous. So if you don't, if you take anything away from on par from what I say, it's that our cocktails are actually really affordable. So every 3 ounces or so is a shot.
Yeah.
With the old fashioned being 2.3 ounces. So if you pour 2.3 ounces of old fashioned, you're getting an ounce and a half of bullet, a shot of bullet, for $6.80. And that's true for Tito's, Jose, and all that. So our most expensive shot is $6.80. But are you on a self pour wall on a Saturday night going to pour, even if you know that, pour only 2.3 ounces?
Right.
The answer is no. Yeah. So. No, we have affordable cocktails. We have affordable bowling, food. I kind of set it up to where I can appeal to everybody. You know, you can come. You don't have to do everything. You can just kind of do what you want.
Yeah.
And the food's great.
Yeah,
the food is great. You wouldn't expect that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when you were when this thing was still a concept and you were building it, and we kind of talked about food. And I remember at first you were kind of like, yeah, we're going to have this, that, you know, kind of like some same old middle of the run food.
Yep.
And I remember telling you, I was like, buddy, you got to knock it off. You need to knock people off their socks on this shit.
I'm telling you.
Trust me, good food will always bring in customers.
Yes. We had it.
They always will.
We had a chef, Aaron O'Neill, and he did an absolute fantastic job on the menu. I mean, he's just a creative genius when it comes to the kitchen and food. And so he really set us up for success, honestly. So shout out to him. If he's watching, and now he's not with us anymore, but that menu that he created was just wonderful. And we've added barbecue and other things to the menu, and I want people to, because you don't think of us as that way,
right?
Like if you go to Dave and Buster's right now, you're gonna be like, oh, the food's gonna be junk,
right? It's gonna be okay. It's like Applebee's.
Yes, and we're not that. We actually have all of our, because Carlos, my director of operations, he was a GM of Cheesecake Factory, but he was also a salesperson for US Foods. So we wanted to make sure to do top quality ingredients.
Yeah.
You know, our burger was a chuck brisket short rib blend, 80-20. You know, we just have absolute wonderful food, so you wouldn't expect that. But
Yeah. No, I mean, everything I've had there is great. I mean, you guys got this great big pretzel, too.
Oh, my gosh,
everyone raves about it, you know. It's great.
A pound and a half. It's not. It would fit. It would pound fit. Out,
yeah.
Most of this.
Yeah, it would literally fit on this Lazy Susan thing.
Yeah,
completely taken over. It's amazing.
Yeah, on par has been a wonderful. It's been challenging because I have a lot of debt.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the thing about on par too. It's like this is a lot of people, and this is probably not that I take the comments online too seriously.
Yeah.
But even when I was opening that, people were just dogging us. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm from here.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm local.
I'm from Beaver Creek. I grew up with nothing to do, especially because I didn't drink.
Yeah.
I grew up with nothing to do, and all I wanted to do was create entertainment and fun
Yeah.
for our community.
Right.
And that's, so when I get heat for on par, it's like, wait a minute, why is there not an on par in Dayton? I'll tell you why. You're going to go to Cincy.
Yeah.
If you're a business, a big business. You're going to go to Columbus where there's big populations.
Yeah, Dayton gets overlooked and skipped all the time.
All the time. And even axe throwing, there's only two of us. I was the only axe throwing business. I was the second escape room business. So it's like, you know, I did this for, and I could have gone anywhere. And I could have gone to Cincinnati, which made more sense financially. But I didn't, because I wanted this for Dayton. Yeah. I wanted a place for us to hang out and have something we're proud of, and a place where we can all hang out and have fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you made it with everyone in mind, and that's what's cool about it.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, I remember when we were younger, there was a place that was pretty cool. That was in Beaver Creek.
Captain Bogey's.
Good old Captain Bogey's.
I loved Captain Bogey's. Yeah, you can't, it was great.
Yeah, that was great. I remember that they had those bumper boat cars.
Yeah.
That was just bumper next
boat
level,
water
dude.
Cars.
Yeah, yeah. How crazy.
I mean, that's not, you think about it, like, that's not a thing, is it?
No, it's gone.
We were so lucky that.
I know.
Like, how many in America, how many companies had bumper boat water cars?
Yeah, exactly.
No one?
Yeah, especially because, you know, look at the winter, you know, here's a winter day today, right? I mean, it's a seasonal thing.
Yeah,
a
seasonal thing.
So you can't even do it all the time, so.
That probably hurt them, but.
Yeah. But still, it was pretty cool. Captain Bogey's.
Yeah, Captain Bogey's, so.
Shout out, don't forget about it.
Yes.
All right, well, cool. Well, that's great. I mean, that was an amazing story. Definitely one of the longest ones we've
ever
had.
I'm sorry, folks, for listening. There's too much to tell. I mean, really.
I remember before we recorded, I was telling you, we could probably drag this out to 4 or 5 episodes with all the businesses you've done. So you said, I think, number 12,
yeah, 12
is on par?
12 businesses. Well, I'd have to. I don't know if I've added the book in there. Not that I've made a ton of money from that, but it's still
technically a business or deal.
Well, I Airbnb'd my house for a long time, for 6 years. I count that as a business. I've had
for sure
two that haven't worked out, maybe. Three that were kind of short-lived. Mm-hmm. I started one with these two guys, and they quickly stole from me, so that wasn't fun. So we dissolved that pretty quickly, and we hung up our hats on that. And I did a little motivational journal. I still have it. I still use it. It was fun with my sister and my mom, called Start Here Challenge. That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I still use
that.
It. I didn't...
30-day challenge.
Yeah. Thing. I just didn't have time to put into it that I needed to. And I didn't really know how to sell online, to be quite frank with you. I didn't have the time to learn. So that was... I don't consider it a failure, because it was so much fun to do that with my family. You know, even if we didn't make a penny off of it... To do that with my older sister and my mom, like, that's a memory we'll always have.
Exactly, you know? It was a group effort.
Yes, so 12. Yeah, I don't know if I'll keep doing new things. I might just keep on par, keep on expanding on par.
Because
the next on par is gonna have axe throwing. It'll have 100 arcades. It'll be 50,000 square feet. And if you haven't been on par, we're 21 and up after 8 o'clock.
I think the next thing, like you said, is that, like, how do you get on par on a level where you can open 5.
That's what we're working on
and
now.
Then open 10.
Yes.
And then open 20.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying at once. And then next thing you know, you've got 50 of these suckers.
Yeah. No, it's such a unique concept. Like I was mentioning, we're 20.
Franchise, I guess you could say, to an extent.
No, I don't need to franchise it. No, I run it myself. But
yeah.
No, I plan on...
Well, you can still get private equity to...
If you're in the entertainment industry, this is your warning. So I plan on crushing everyone who stands in my way for that. So the big box entertainment stands, like, they can't compete with me.
Yeah.
And I love that. You know? I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
Because I can offer so much more than they can in almost every regards. So our plan is to just expand. So this year, our plan is to make it to where we can duplicate it with ease. So we're really fine tuning all of our checklists.
What do you think the next market is?
Well, I don't want to say.
Oh, okay.
But I might go right next door to any of one of my competitions, right next door to them, and just see how well they do.
I feel like that's not a bad move, but I almost feel like you might want to go a little further.
Maybe.
Like,
we'll see.
Like, I think the closest I would do would be like 2 hours, like maybe Indianapolis. Like,
no.
You want to go closer than that.
Yeah.
You're Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Columbus. I mean, is what you're thinking.
They can't compete with me, and I think they know it, if they know it is about our business model. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, it's fun to me because I have probably 20 staff that have been with me since the beginning.
Right.
And, you know, I keep trying to preach the dream to them.
Of course.
Well, one, you have to believe in on par, that yeah. this could be a thing where you can retire from. This is the beginning. Yeah. And you have to believe in me as well.
Yeah.
I don't know which one they believe in.
Leadership.
It might be the on par dream.
Yeah.
They might
yeah.
look at me and be like, this guy's crazy. We don't want anything to do with him. But so that's, it's fun for me because I have 56 employees there too.
Yeah.
And this is their livelihood.
Right.
And that's where, as an entrepreneur, well, it becomes serious.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no more playing around.
Yeah, it's very serious. You're not a real entrepreneur. I mean, I'm going to put this out there, and I was always taught this too. You're not a real entrepreneur until you make payroll.
Yeah.
Everything else is just kind of fantasy land stuff.
Yeah.
Once you start making payroll, that's when you really get to that. It's a whole other level.
Yeah. It was funny because my managers would say, take a day off. But I'm like, I have 56 people just at this business that rely on me. So right. I'm not going to take any
Can't
time off.
It.
Yeah. I mean, my priority is them.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be, yeah. right? I mean, they're everything. And shout out to them too. I have to shout out to everyone on par. I already have the managers and stuff, but the staff who have been with us since the beginning. This is a startup.
Yeah.
You know, even right now, how many changes? You're still making changes, but.
Of course.
In a startup, there's no one to save the day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call a 1-800 number and say, how do you do this again?
Yeah.
Like, you're figuring that out.
You're figuring out the process. You're figuring it out on the fly.
And you're making changes all the time.
Yeah.
And for them to deal with that and to put up with me, because, you know, I think I'm intense at work. I don't think I am, actually. But I know they do. To me, I'm just like, it works, it's normal. But so for them to put up with me, like, they're all wonderful. I'm very appreciative of everyone who works for me.
Well, that's cool. Well, we've still got some time left. Let's get to some of these questions here. Let's talk about local community. How you integrated with that? I mean, obviously we hit something with the pop. That's cool.
Yeah.
I know you do like a charity tap every month.
We
so talk about
yeah.
that.
So, you know, I have 5 core values at all my businesses, again, to keep it easy for me to remember. And it's community is one of them. Culture, communication, continuous improvement, and responsibility. It's actually a fun story, and people, I don't know if everyone realizes that works for me. Those 5 core values, the twins and my older manager, Alexis, who's wonderful and helped to run and expand all my businesses. They came up with those 5 core values because they spent a lot of time on this. Those are my personal 5 core values.
Yeah.
And so now that's our core values. And one's community, right? And we do a lot of donations. We do a ton of donations at Great Escape Wild Acts. We're just like every day it's a donation. The free pop is a big one. It's insane to do that, to give away that much free pop.
It just doesn't make any sense. I know we talked about it. $75,000 worth of pop?
And honestly,
that's, I'm talking about that's wholesale. That's not like
Yeah, that's what
retail.
I've paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not, in reality times way
a lot.
More.
Yeah, because you're not accounting for the lost potential revenue that you would have made from selling the pop. That's actually the only thing that Carlos and I have disagreed on.
Really?
And maybe he's right. And I don't think we get credit for it.
Yeah,
we don't. But you know, I'm going to keep on doing it because it's the right thing to do, and It's not my job to care about what they think. You know.
Yeah. You're still. I mean, that's your belief.
But in a way, like, so I wish we went out in the community more. But my philosophy, and people have disagreed with this, and they're right to do that. Maybe, like, my job for the community core value is to make On Par and Wild Acts so fun that this is their escape. So I want to provide an outlet for the community where it's like, man, are you having a bad day? I just talked to my friend on the way here, and their dad was like, in a really bad spot, actually. Come to On Par. Come to Wild Acts.
Yeah.
Like, let's have fun. Because you watch people leave, and they're smiling.
Yeah.
They're happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when it comes to community, we don't go out as much as really at all for the businesses, but we're very mindful of when they come in that door, we greet you loudly and enthusiastically. Like, we want to be that place in the community where you can escape.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, no, I mean, I get it. But you do that that tap, though, every month.
Oh, the charity tap.
Yeah,
I'm just here rambling.
Yeah, that's okay. So every month you do a charity tap.
Yes.
And you change it up, and it's typically a local charity.
It's always a local charity, yeah. And so basically the way we just pick, we have the same, it's usually the same tap. Sometimes it changes, and 100% of the proceeds go to a local charity.
Yeah, so you literally make no money on it.
We lose money.
Yeah.
Well, we got to buy the product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, proceeds would be...
Oh, no, no, no. We 100%.
Oh, so it's not even covering your costs.
No. We do not take our costs out and then give you the proceeds.
You just give it all.
If I spend $400 on two kegs, that's the charity tap. I spend $400 and then I give you 100% of the money.
Yeah.
For that. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's been good. We average about 1,000 a month, which isn't a big number, but there's wonderful organizations like Dayton Humanity Society, for example. They're a non-kill shelter. They're our current tap. Yeah. Crayons to classrooms. If you know about crayons to classrooms, basically you can come in, a teacher can come in, fill up a shopping cart for their school districts that are what's the word I'm looking for? Not privileged, but don't have funding.
Yeah.
They can fill up a shopping cart for free, close that work. All these great organizations, and it's still $1,000 that they didn't have before.
Right.
So that's a fun way to give back. You know?
Yeah,
it's expensive. I'm losing money to give money, but I don't care. I mean, it's all about charity. It's all about giving back, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've got Breast Wishes that came on here. Mm-hmm. That would be a good one for you to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to link you up.
For sure.
That'll be a good month to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome. And it's local. And it's literally women in Dayton that have breast cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd be amazed how many women, their request is just a good mattress.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have one. Mm. And that's part of the healing process.
Right.
You know, being able to sleep. So it's amazing. So I've always helped out there. Like, I've always overgave.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good.
It does. It does. I mean, those are the ones that get you. You know, they really get to you and grab you and. You're like, I know what I'm doing is good.
Yes.
You know, I know what I'm doing for the community is good.
Right.
I mean, I truly believe in general, you know, we sell mattresses and furniture. I truly believe that we give people an alternative option that otherwise could not get sleep like they do with us. I truly believe that we're helping people get off the ground on the floor and we're giving them that option because I've seen people buy $300-$500 mattresses, which isn't a lot of money, but they're getting... You couldn't get anything like that anywhere else.
Right. No, you've always had an incredible value here.
So, I mean, I truly believe that is me helping with the
Well, yeah, I mean, you've been around for, this will be 15 years this
Pretty
year.
Pretty close. Yeah, this year. Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Congrats, man.
Yeah.
It is wild.
I know. Who would have thought?
I knew.
Yeah, I know you knew.
You know?
I know you knew.
Yeah,
There's
nothing you can't do, man.
That's true. There was a handful of people, and you were definitely one of them, for sure.
That's good. I try to do that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
In the moment, you know. Well, you are who you hang out with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, two guys hanging out in stat class, and we made it. I don't know what happened to the other Dan, but...
I don't know.
He called me a couple of years ago, and he was trying to do a pyramid scheme thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he tried.
Yeah. But no, he was always a nice guy.
Super nice guy.
I hope everything's going good for him.
Yeah.
For sure.
But...
Yeah, fire away. What other questions
you
got on here?
So the local community stuff we always like to talk about. But, I mean, I would say you pretty much supported all these. You know, like, you with your story, you kind of hit them all. You know, it's like milestones and successes and, you know, what's, you know, some failures you learned from. Like, you hit it all in the head, man.
Man, I think I could read my next book should be about all of my failures.
That would be interesting.
It'd be thick and it'd be big.
So, I mean, you know, really, I mean, is there anything that you really want to talk about that you haven't talked about?
No,
I
don't.
You nailed it on the head with your story.
No, man. I don't think so. I mean, I think I talked too much about my story, and I like to be motivational when I speak, and I don't think I did a great job here with that. But I think
you definitely did. But yeah, I mean to tie everything up. Well, first off, before we get to that point, let's talk about On Par. Let's do the credential stuff. They flash it up on the screen.
Like, oh yeah,
On Par. You know, how do we get a hold of you? You know, what's the gig?
Yep. Well,
it's onpar.com.
Onparbar.com.
Okay.
You can book a VIP section and a karaoke room in advance. Other than that, we have our food menu on there. We have everything else on there. We're located right across the street from the Green. At 4464 Indian Ripple Road. You can't miss it. It's the old Fitworks.
Yeah.
Actually, it's fun. If you went to that Fitworks, we have the same desk. They left the desk there.
Yeah.
And we just put a granite countertop on top of it. And it's the same. So the curved desk is the Fitworks gym desk. And that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And all the socials would be, you know, On Par, you know, the On Par Bar or On Par Bar.
Yeah. So that's where you had this, the best way to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
For on par. No, that's interesting. What was I going to say? There was something I was going to say about that. It was, I know it's the old Fitworks and whatnot, but, oh, I know what I was going to say. DoorDash, aren't you guys on that now?
We are. It's been kind of challenging and glitchy sometimes because our POS system keeps wanting to pull all of our entertainment into it, and it's been a big kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to, even just yesterday, we pulled, so it was like bowling on DoorDash. Like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And so we have integration issues right now, but we are on DoorDash.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. So
So people can get this great food that you guys are providing.
Yeah. We're changing up our pizza, and we're gonna make a big push to push more of that out.
Yeah.
And it's really good. And we have a barbecue menu that's really good too. So we have a lot of just great things, and DoorDash is going to help people get that. But okay. I want you to come in.
Yeah.
And I want you to stay home. Come on.
Right. But if they come in, they experience it, get some good food on a cold night like tonight. It's great to have it sent to the house. You know what I'm saying?
It is. Yeah.
I'm not saying like tonight, but a cold night like
go out
Tuesday.
Tonight.
You know, it's going to be pretty rough. It's going to be -5 or whatever. So you know.
Oh yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So they might, but they still want the food. You know.
Yes, for sure.
Exactly. Well, we always end things on a positive note, as you were getting at. So, you know, words of wisdoms. Any quotes you go by?
Well, it would have to be. I'd have to quote Les Brown on this one. He's one of my favorites. And it's not necessarily a quote, but just know that anything you want to do, the American dream is alive and well, no matter where you're at. Everyone's trying to come to America for a reason. Mm-hmm. And the dream is that it's possible in America. And no matter where, you might have more rungs to climb in the ladder than someone else, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
So in America, it's possible, and your dreams are possible, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise, and chase that dream.
Yeah, just keep going.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, Danny, it was a pleasure having you on here. I hope you had fun.
I did. Yes. Thanks for having me, Frank.
Yeah. I mean, it's the goal is to hear a version of your story that is the long version. And I know that it was the long version.
I talked too much.
But that's okay. It's a version I've never heard before. And I really think everyone's going to enjoy it. So it's really cool that you were able to do that.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming on, and we'll see you at On Par.
Yes, sir.
Follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at daytonapproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.